one who is engaged in hearing. Shradadanasya, with care and attention, like we will all do today. Not enough care and attention. How can we have like we will all do today in the Bhagavatam? Vasudeva, in respect to Vasudeva, tata, the message, ruchihi, affinity, syat, is made possible. Mahatsevaya, by service rendered to pure devotees. Vipraham, O twice born. Punyatirta, those who are cleansed of all vice. Nishevana, by service. Translation. Actually, in this verse, the medicine is given how one can become more attracted in Krishna consciousness. So please kindly listen as it is relevant to most of our lives. O twice born sages, by serving those devotees who are completely freed from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. Purport. The conditioned life of a living entity is caused by its revolting against the Lord. There are men called Deva, or godly living beings, and there are men called Asuras, or demons, who are against the authority of the Supreme Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, a vivid description of the Asuras is given, in which it is said that the Asuras are put into lower and lower states of ignorance, life after life, and so sink to the lower animal forms and have no information about the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead. These Asuras are gradually rectified to God consciousness by the mercy of the Lord's liberated servitors in different countries according to the Supreme Will. Such devotees of God are very confidential associates of the Lord, and when they come to save human society from the dangers of godlessness, they are known as the powerful incarnations of the Lord, as sons of the Lord, as servants of the Lord, or as associates of the Lord. But none of them falsely claim to be God themselves. This is a blasphemy declared by the Asuras, and the demoniac followers of such Asuras also accept pretenders as God or his incarnation. In the revealed scriptures, there is definite information of the incarnation of God. No one should be accepted as God or an incarnation of God unless he is confirmed by the revealed scriptures. The servants of God are to be respected as God by the devotees who actually want to go back to Godhead. Such servants of God are called Mahatmas or Tirthas, and they preach according to particular time and place. The servants of God urge people to become devotees of the Lord. They never tolerate being called God. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was God himself according to the indication of the revealed scriptures, but he played the part of a devotee. People who knew him to be God addressed him as God, but he used to block his ears with his hands and chant, Vishnu, Vishnu, Vishnu. Hare Krishna. He strongly protested against being called God. Although undoubtedly he was God himself, the Lord behaves so to warn us against unscrupulous men who take pleasure in being addressed as God. They take pleasure in this. The servants of God come to propagate God consciousness, and intelligent people should cooperate with them in every respect. By serving the servant of God, one can please God more than by directly serving the Lord. The Lord is more pleased when he sees that his servants are properly respected, because such servants risk everything for the service of the Lord, and so are very dear to the Lord. The Lord declares in the Bhagavad Gita that no one is dearer to him than one who risks everything to preach his glory. By serving the servants of the Lord, one gradually gets the quality of such servants, and thus one becomes qualified to hear the glories of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. The eagerness to hear about God is the first qualification of a devotee eligible for entering the kingdom of God. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyadi Shatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the gradual process of advancement in Krishna consciousness is very nicely described. First, we are told that in order to advance, we need to take a sword in our hand and use this sword against the sum total of all material entanglement. That entanglement begins in the heart with the false ego or the ahankara. So intelligent men and women take the sword of knowledge and cut the knot of false ego in order to advance in Krishna consciousness. Imagine I would give you a wonderful present. Maybe, what is a wonderful present? Something material, really. Maybe a toothbrush made of gold. Maybe. And a befitting soapbox made also of gold. Oh, that's actually a little crazy. With a diamond on top. More crazy. Must have something to balance it. And a new bicycle for riding in Aventoya. So I bring this all in a huge box to you. And there is a big knot. Before you could utilize the present, you would have to cut the knot. In the same way, in Krishna consciousness, we do have obtained a wonderful present. Yes, Krishna consciousness. However, if we don't cut the knot of false ego, we will not be able to utilize it. Our present will just sit around unused without any advantage for our spiritual life, really. So, how can we cut the knot of false ego, of false identification with the world? The answer is given that we can do so if we develop our real identity and our real purpose in life. When you have obtained your real purpose in life, that I am a servant of Krishna and I want to serve him as much as possible, you can easily cut the knot of false ego. Why? Because you have something to live for, something which makes you enthusiastic, something which how do you say, touches you in your greatest of being. The famous playwriter George Bernard Shaw once wrote something very beautiful. He said, the true joy in life lies in engaging in an activity which gives you the highest meaning, den höchsten Sinn. In this way, you become a force of nature instead of staying a little clot of ailments, that's pain, which just laments because the world does not devote in making it happy. Maybe a little heavy English, but this is life, we have to think and to strain our brains to understand the fact of life. This liberation from the little stinky world, to be perfectly clear, of false ego, can be done if we cut the knot of these illusory attachments to this world. Now it becomes it's like a war cry to say such a thing, but it's for someone who does not have a higher taste in spiritual life, but it is a nectarian information for someone who does have a higher taste in Krishna consciousness. The higher taste is really born if we devote ourselves to serve devotees who are free from all bad intentions and vices. Such devotees travel really in this material world to connect souls to this wonderful service of Krishna, and to find their shelter and engage in their service is the highest meaning of our otherwise unimportant existence. Today is the appearance day of Srimati Vishnupriya, who is such a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. She is the consort, or the, consort of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srimati Vishnupriya married with Mahaprabhu after he had lost his first wife, Lakshmi Priya. Both of them were actually goddesses of fortune in this, from the spiritual world. And Vishnupriya served the Lord by massaging his lotus feet, cooking for his pleasure, and so on, until finally Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and left her. At that time, Srila Prabhupada said, Vishnupriya manifested her great austerity. Vishnupriya would chant all day on her japa mala, and for every round which she completed, she put aside one grain of rice. And from these rice corn, she prepared her meal. That's all she ate after Mahaprabhu left. You can just imagine 64 rounds. That's only, it has very, very little. 64 grains, it's just this much. Okay, let us add 64 more rounds. It's a little bit more, but not much. And then another 64 rounds. That's all. That's what she would eat, because she was so, in separation of Mahaprabhu. Eventually, the first deity, one of the first deities of Mahaprabhu, was made for her, and she worshipped that and sat before the deity and chanted. It's the Dameshwara Mahaprabhu, a deity which you can visit in Sri Damnavadvip. He has his hands like this. It means, take love of Godhead, take love of Godhead. This is the deity of Vishnupriya. And there you can even watch their sandals of the Lord. They can, the pujari, if you give a donation of 1 rupee, takes the sandals and touches your head with it. That's Srimati Vishnupriya. Much more could be said, but we want to cover a lot of subjects today. And then we have Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's disappearance day. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is sometimes called the incarnation of Rupa Goswami. He is a great commentator of our transcendental literature, and he is very often quoted by Srila Prabhupada. I will not talk much about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Only one thing, sometimes, you know, he was such a learned scholar. He would ride and ride and ride, and sometimes it would rain, monsoon rain would be there. But mysteriously, the rain did not touch him. It seemed as if an invisible umbrella was above him. That was the Lord holding his hand above his dear devotee who wrote these wonderful commentaries. Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentaries are so, so wonderful. Sometimes he writes what the more about the talks of Krishna and Arjuna, the talks which took place between the lines of Bhagavad, the Bhagavad Gita and so on. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, I want to talk on another subject, so I have to be fast. Pundarik Vidyanidhi's appearance day. He is no one else than Maharaj Vrishabhanu, and therefore Mahaprabhu would call him Bapu. Bapu means father, because he is a combined form of Radha and Krishna. So in his mood of Radharani, he would call a Bapu. Pundarik Vidyanidhi is is described in the Chaitanya Bhagavatam as a very great Mahabhagavat, and He is, what is the Leela there, which you all know? Yes, once he was sitting in a little room. He was a very rich man. He had golden ornaments. He had someone who kept a mirror so that he could see himself in a mirror. His hair was long and black and with oil. He had very fine dress. He looked really like a king. And there was a servant who had a spittoon. Do you know what is a spittoon? A spucknap. And so that he was sometimes spitting the chewed betel nuts in there. And once, the great devotee Mukunda was going with Gadadhar near this place where he was staying, and he said, Mukunda said, "Do you want to see a real devotee?" And Gadadhar said, "Yes, sure." Mukunda led him to Pundarikvidyanidhi, and Gadadhar, who was so renounced, he never married. Gadadhar said, he didn't say anything, but he thought, how is this a real devotee? He's a sense gratifier. He eats betel nuts. So they walked by, and on the way back, Mukunda chanted one verse from the Bhagavatam. Aho Baki, look at this witch, Putana. Although she poisoned the Lord nevertheless, although she wanted to poison the Lord nevertheless took her as his mother by drinking her milk and gave her liberation. Is there anyone who is more merciful than Krishna? This verse he chanted it. And when he chanted it, Pundarik Vidyanidhi totally lost himself in transcendental ecstasy. His body began to shake. Tears came from his eyes, so that it looked that Mother Ganga in her personal form was there. Everything became wet. And 10 people could not hold him because he began to shake so violently with transcendental ecstasy. The whole furniture, bang, 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 was knocked over and destroyed because he could not contain himself within the frame of composure. He totally fell in transcendental ecstasy. When Gadadhar saw this, he saw I made a big offense, and he begged forgiveness, and later became his disciple. Then we have Raghunandan Thakur's appearance day. You remember Raghunandan, who said to his deity, or Gopal deity, eat, eat, eat. Then we had, and who was such a devotee that Gopal actually ate prasadam. We have Raghunath Das Goswami's appearance day, who is our Acharya for the most confidential truth of Krishna consciousness. He is a worshipper of Radha Gopinath. So yes, this is a very special day. A very special day, I feel, for us to make a little fine Einstellung, to make a little fine tuning in our lives. Krishna consciousness is based on enthusiasm. The enthusiasm to go back to the spiritual world. This is a driving force, so to say, of a devotee's life. The driving force is not the prakoras and rice and ghee sabjis which we eat. The driving force is not that we fall in love with some member of our ashram. The driving force is not that we collect a lot of Lakshmi or that we are extremely successful, the driving force must be enthusiasm. Without enthusiasm, we are lost and we go to sleep again in our immaterial consciousness. Enthusiasm, Utsahan, is the first of six principles which is favorable for the development of Krishna consciousness. Now, I feel we must now open the window a little bit, because otherwise we want to help devotees to hear enthusiastically. Wir können ja eine kleine Lawine von Ozon hier reinlassen, dass die Devotees ein bisschen Vorsicht, Bang! Das ist das Bang-Fenster. Ich glaube, eins reicht, sonst haben wir Durchzug und dann werden alle krank. So, enthusiasm is so very important in Prabhupada's purport. I found a very nice quotation of enthusiasm. He says, enthusiasm is mixed, it's a mixture of intelligence and endeavor in Krishna consciousness. If you blindly endeavor, in other words, just make a show of enthusiasm, which is nothing else than extreme activeness or so on, Betrieblichkeit, nicht Betriebsamkeit. That is not enthusiasm. There must be the other part also, intelligence. We must plan our life a little bit with our enthusiasm, with our intelligence, so that we can remain enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness. It's very important, each one of you, what is your plan to remain enthusiastic? Not so easy to remain enthusiastic. As we grow older, as circumstances become more difficult, as you die, yes, it will be one day you will be on your deathbed and you're supposed to be enthusiastic then. We really must build up enthusiasm in our life by an intelligent plan. Intelligent plan is how we can find our place in Krishna consciousness and act from there with a feeling of connectedness, being connected with Krishna. One thing which always which never fails to make devotees enthusiastic is to hear about the transcendental kingdom of God. Srila Prabhupada said, one must be enthusiastic when one hears that one can go back home, back to Godhead in this one life. That's a great source of enthusiasm, to think, I'm going back to Godhead. No? So today I want to talk a little bit about back to Godhead, about the spiritual world, by quoting to you a verse from the Brahma Sanghita, which you all know, so kindly chant it with me. Chintamani prakara satma sukalpa briksha laksha vriteshu surabhi abhipalayantam lakshmi sahasra shata sambrama sevyamanam govindama viburushan Tamang Vajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, the first progenitor, who is tending the cows, yielding all desire in abodes built with spiritual gems, surrounded by millions of purpose trees. All is served with great reverence and affection by hundreds of thousands of Lakshmis or Gopis. That's a description of the spiritual world. Imagine you feel you are like a prisoner and you only have a few more days until you are in freedom. Wouldn't you be enthusiastic? This is how you should lead your life. Only a few more days, then you are with Krishna. that never fails to give us enthusiasm and inspiration. So let us now have a little preview, eine kleine Vorschau, bitte schön, of the spiritual world, so that we can feel enthusiastic. You know, we have an idea when we are prisoners what the freedom might look like, but we have been so long in this material world that sometimes we have forgotten what the spiritual world looks like. We don't think very often about it. So, Lord Brahma, after having ecstatic meditation in his trance about the spiritual world, is describing it from first-hand experience. He's just coming back from there, telling us, here, dear prisoners, this is where you're going. The first point, he says, is he's the first progenitor. That means Krishna talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita. Everything and everyone comes from him. Aham bija pradapita. I am the father who gives the seeds, that is the living entities, in this material world. That's Krishna. We come from him. We have a relationship with him. It's our home, in other words. We come from him and from there. Then it is described that the Lord, in the spiritual world, what does he do there? Does he go to the factory? Does he work? No, he tends cows. That's his work in the spiritual world. Now, I would like to describe a little bit the different points which are raised in this verse. I want to first say how the spiritual world looks like. It is described that the entire spiritual world is built of transcendental touch stone. Now, the Sanskrit word is chintamani, and it means something like a thought gem. Can you imagine this? You have a jewel, a dragul, made from the substance of thought. Very difficult. This chintamani material can fulfill all desires. A touchstone is a stone. If you just touch it with iron, that iron, bling, turns into gold. This is how a touchstone is. So a touchstone means this touchstone can fulfill all desires which someone has. In the scriptures, it is described Raj Rita Chintamani, that's a book of Chaitanya of Vishwana Chakravarti Thakur, how this transcendental atmosphere looks, which is made of touchstone. And listen to this. You will not believe your ears, so you have to always say to you, it's true what I'm hearing, it's true what I'm hearing. In some places, the ground of Raj is a golden Jambu River. And in other places, it is made of sapphire, saphire. Sometimes, when Krishna enjoys pastimes with Radhika, it seems that there's only one person and not two. Very simple, because Krishna goes over Vrindavan, and when it's in the golden place, that the place is so golden and so luminous that Radharani, who's also made of pure, her effulgence is pure gold. No one can see her any longer because she disappears against the contrast. Can you imagine? Imagine like this. Now, I'm totally made of saffron now for you. Only a color saffron, all right? Imagine now the wall is also made only of saffron. Then you cannot see me any longer. This is how it is. The floor of Vrindavan is giving such an effulgence that Radharani cannot be seen. Now another time, that Radha and Krishna walk over the ground which is like sapphires. And then Krishna, whose effulgence is blue like a blue sapphire, is no longer visible. Where is Krishna? What happened to him? This is Vrindavan. Even the dust, in some places it's made of camphor, in some places it's saffron. It's very aromatic, in other words. Now it's surprising that these jewels, these Chintamani jewels, are, it seems, not of much interest for the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Because what do they do with it? They build with it the houses. You usually take things for your, you build your house with useless stones or bricks, you know, that you can't even sleep on, you know, which is totally useless for all purposes. But there, this very useful thing, which is so valuable and which can fulfill you all desires, that's used for building material. And we will hear a little in a little while why this is so. It's a very surprising reason. Now, in Vrindavan, there are many kalpa vriksha. What is a kalpa vriksha? It's a desire tree, yes. What is a desire tree? You seem to be very much informed of the transcendental world and do you believe that? yes, like our Mataji informs us, this tree is a tree which can give us all dharma, artha, kama, moksha, whatever you want. In the folklore, the folklore, there is a story about a person who goes in Vrindavan and he is tired, he is a woodcutter and he cannot gathered enough wood for the evening. So he says, oh, I wish I would get some wood. And all of a sudden a pile of wood starts to manifest before him. Then he says, oh, I wish I would have a bed because it's very, very tired now. Plain, there's a bed, and he goes. But before he goes to sleep, he says, I wish I could have a rasgulla. Plain, there's a rasgulla on his head. He says, oh, it's a kalpa vriksha, a desire tree. And then he thinks, well, maybe a tiger is coming into the forest. And bling, there's a tiger and eats him up. This is a story which is told in the folklore of but in the spiritual world, this cannot happen. now, I want to describe a little bit the kalpa vriksha so that you know a little bit more about. Originally, there's only one kalpa vriksha tree in Vrindavan. And the other trees have attained the qualities of kalpa vriksha trees by its association. The example is, originally, there's only one Krishna, but his emanations, the cowherd boys and so on, have attained that blissful nature also by the association of Krishna. So because all the other trees are in have association with this one type of Vriksha tree, they also come to be such blissful, wish-fulfilling trees. Mm. And listen, now, on these trees, jewel birds, that means birds made from jewels, they sit on the jewel branches of these trees. Jewels fall from the tree and cover the nearby area, appearing like a little jewel irrigation trench around the tree's roots. So these are the desire trees. But we get the information that the inhabitants of Vrindavan do never desire things from the tree for themselves. Imagine we would have a kalpa tree, riksha tree. What would we desire? A new car, the first thing. Then a better apartment. We are grihastas. A good apartment, separate from the temple, but very close so that we always can come. And there should be enough money so that we can pay the rent every month. It should just, from one corner of the apartment, it should just manifest, boom, every month on the first of the month and so on. We might have immediately such desires. Or a new pair of socks for the spring and so on. But the inhabitants of Vrindavan never have such desires. They pick the fruits and flowers from the kalpa vriksha trees and give them to Krishna. And sometimes they desire some things for the service of Krishna. But, as we are informed, Krishna really, although everything is so opulent, Krishna really prefers to not deal in this opulent atmosphere. He just likes much more a kanikara flower over the ear than a mighty crown. He just is not so interested. It's described, he sometimes carries a little string of gunya berries. It's a very hard berry form around his neck. And when someone comes and brings some jewels, even from faraway oceans, he is not interested. He says, no, I like Vrindavan. And he takes the gunja berries from there. So, in this way, Krishna is... the inhabitants are not interested in the jewels and so on and so forth. And then Krishna has Kamadhenu cows. Do you want to hear about Krishna's cows? The Kamadhenu cows, they are very beautiful. And Krishna sometimes, described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he has different groups. They have and now listen about these cows. For each of the four colors of cows, white, red, black, and yellow, there are 25 subdivisions, making a total of 100 colors. And each and such qualities as being colored like sandar, this is wood pulp, tilak, speckled, or some have a head shape like medanga drum. And then there are... So in order to count them, Krishna has a string of 108 jewel beads. And when the groups come, he counts them like this. Thus, when Krishna calls out, "Hey Davali," that's the name of a white cow, a whole group of white cows come forward. Davali seems to be the leader of these white cows. And when he calls, "Hamsa, Chandani, Ganga, Mukta," and so on, the 24 other groups of white cows come. The reddish cows are called Aruni, Kunkuma, Saraswati, and so weiter. the blackish ones, Syamala, Dhumala, Yamuna, und so weiter. And the yellowish ones, Pita, Pingala, Haritalika, und so weiter. Those in the groups with tilak marks on their foreheads are called Chitrita, Chitra tilak, Dirga tilak, and Tiryak tilak. And there are groups known as Mridangi Mukhi. So then the cows come forward when they are called by the names of Krishna. Some of them just wait. Will Krishna call me? Yes or no? I'm only coming if Krishna calls me. And then, you know, Krishna has these billions of cows, but then he says, oh, there's one cow missing. And he immediately knows what cow and immediately calls it, Davali, where are you? And then Davali, Krishna called me. I'm called by Krishna. Very personal. So then she comes and is very happy. Krishna gives her fresh grass and pets her, and so on and so forth. So this is these Kama Dhenu cows can fulfill all desires, but the inhabitants of Vrindavan never go to them with a desire. Yes. Let me see this. They don't desire anything. They want only love for Krishna. Yes, they said. But the Kama Dhenus of Goloka pour forth oceans of milk in the shape. What is this milk? Listen to this milk. Of the fountain of love showering transcendental bliss that does away with the hunger and thirst of all pure devotees. In other words, this milk is transcendental ecstasy, and everyone who tastes it gets into transcendental ecstasy. It's totally beyond. Then we find out that that there are unlimited goddesses of fortune or Lakshmis. And these Lakshmis are really what is meant here is they are goddesses of fortune. They are not just Vaikuntha Lakshmis. And it says that the gopis there are also goddesses of fortune, and they surpass the goddess of fortune who abides in Vaikuntha, in Vrindavan. Lord Krishna is always playing his transcendental flute, which is his dear companion. In other words, these gopis are there, and they are hearing Krishna's transcendental flute playing, and they are called by the transcendental flute of Krishna, away from their households, away from their other duties. Because you must understand, in Vrindavan, everyone who lives there, simply living in transcendental ecstasy of love of Godhead, and also for the gopis, only Krishna counts, and the satisfaction of Krishna is their only life. To enter this world of Vrindavan, we really have to become qualified by giving up our false enjoying spirit in this world. Only if we have learned to please Krishna in this life, are we qualified to come to this transcendental abode of the Lord. You have seen, although everything there is wish fulfilling, the Chintamani gems, the Kalpa Vriksha trees, and the Kamadenu cows, all the inhabitants of Vrindavan never really have a wish, because they have they are eternally perfect in their wish to please Krishna. If we want to come to this transcendental kingdom, this is what we must cultivate, this feeling or desire to serve Krishna. Today you have a beautiful opportunity We can see it. There are many services today here in the Abenteuer project. We should practice our life, like Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. We should do our service and simultaneously think of Krishna. If we do not think of Krishna while we are doing our service, the service can become a stress. Oh, now I have to do this. Oh, no, I have to do this. Now I have to do this. Oh, and then I've not yet written my this and my that and so on. But if you have Krishna in your umskis, in your minds, then the desire to please him, you will automatically satisfy him. And you will like your service very much. Anything which is there, you can do with Krishna. It is described that anyways, we can get into, we want to come to an end. So thank you very much. I hope you're now a little bit more enthusiastic to go to Vrindavan, to Goloka Vrindavan in the spiritual world. We must gather some more information, how it looks like, how it is there, and then desire to go there. Do you have any questions regarding the subject matter of the lecture, Mukunda? How man is detached, losgelöst. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how can he be advanced by that standard? Mukunda Prabhu says, you once said that our advancement in Krishna consciousness is measured by our detachment from this world, but Pundarik Vidyanidhi had servants and a mirror and so much luxury around himself. There's another associate of the Lord. It is Ramananda Roy. He trained beautiful young girls to dance for the pleasure of Lord Jagannath. And he used to dress these young girls also. And in the course of this, touched their undressed bodies. How can he be called advanced? I mean, if someone would even imagine to do this in in our movement, he would immediately be thrown out of the door. The Mahaprabhu nevertheless told Pradyumna Mishra, renounced sannyasi, to go to Ramananda Roy and listen from him about Krishna Katha. And when Pradyumna Mishra came there, he waited in the room before, waited in the room, and Ramananda Roy just didn't come. And when he asked his servant, why is he not coming? The servant said, he's busy with the dancing girls. Where have I come? Said Pradyumna Mishra, and immediately went out, And next day Mahaprabhu asked him, so did you hear Krishna Katha from Ramananda Roy? Where have you sent me, my lord? I have left that place when I heard what Ramananda Roy was doing. Oh no, said Mahaprabhu. Ramananda Roy is the most advanced. He is already in his spiritual identity beyond the material body and totally free of the material senses. So detachment is really, you can't see it by any external symptom, Mukunda. You might find a yogi, the yogi in the Himalayan mountains, you might find him in the cave, very externally very renounced, but maybe he thinks, if I could only get a newspaper from New Delhi and find out the news and some advertisement. You know, this happened. Atmatattva Prabhu has told a story where he once went and saw a yogi, and the yogi said, and can you tell me the news, you know, everything, I'm so far away here. And he was still very much attached to the world. It's not something measured, to be measured externally. It's an interesting point, isn't it? For instance, you are dressed in the while you, someone may be dressed in the color of saffron, which means, you know, he is a brahmacharya, but maybe he thinks from morning till evening about Mataji. That has happened in our movement. It is still happening, and it will happen in the future. So, not something to be measured externally. Why Pundarik Vidyanidhi conducted himself like this? Well, that's Pundarik Vidyanidhi. It's this is how he is. He's a king of Vrinda. He's Maharaj Vrishabhanu. Gaura Shiromani. Gaura Shiromani says, you described how the Kalpa Vriksha trees can fulfill every desire, but what's about the desires of the Brijvasis who want that Krishna comes to them? Is that also fulfilled? Well, even if Krishna externally seems to leave Vrindavan, we are informed by Srila Prabhupada that he never really puts a step out of Vrindavan. He is there for the inhabitants of Vrindavan. And yes, when devotees call out for Krishna, he always comes. Even outside of Vrindavan. When Draupadi called for Krishna, he came immediately. Or when it's described, when the Pandavas were in the forest and this Durvasa Muni was there with his 60,000 disciples, he needed to be fed, and it was clear if one would not feed him, this yogi would curse all the Pandavas. So Draupadi called, "Hey Krishna, please come, save us. We cannot possibly produce 60,000 meals. It was not a food for life kitchen there, you know. We cannot possibly. And it's described that at that time, Krishna was just in Dwaraka, sitting down, and Rukmini brought him a huge plate of prasadam. But Krishna heard that call of Draupadi and said to Rukmini, "I'm sorry, I can't eat now." "What? It's a prepare, just sit 5 minutes, you can eat." "No, I'm sorry, I'm in such a hurry, I can't really, you know, take now the food." And Krishna immediately appeared where Draupadi was calling for him, and there was far away a few maybe 5,000 kilometers. Krishna appeared there. When a devotee in this world chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, my dear Lord, please engage me in the service. Krishna is also there, just like the sun is there and comes and dispels the darkness of our lives. He's very responsive, also sehr antwortet schnell. Niemals besetzt, never occupied. No. I think today Nishingananda phoned with phoned Lalita to inform her that there would be a lecture, but he said there was a fax beep 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 on the phone the first time, and never like this. That, and then the question is, how can we phone this Vaishnavi and bring the information to her? No possibility. But Krishna is never occupied. There's never a fax thing in. Beep, 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 beep. No. Simon. Yes, it's three times easier to make advancement in India, said Prabhupada. Three times. Du fragst dich, ob du lieber nach Indien gehen sollst, weil es da so leicht geht, oder Sangetan machst. Ist das das? Ach ja. Was? Ich muss ja wissen, wozu ich, was ich beantworten soll. Ja. Ja, und jetzt willst du über Indien hören oder was? Wie es ist in Indien? Wo man sein soll. No, jetzt verstehe ich. Okay. Okay, Simon wants to know where to go. In India, it's so much easier to make spiritual advancement, but it's also said the one who preaches. The way Srila Prabhupada has put the holy dharmas into our lives is that he said devotees should visit from time to time the holy dharma to get inspiration, and on that inspiration continue their services in the West, because we need to spread Krishna consciousness here. I think that's a healthy way of, you know, being within or relating to the holy dharmas. If you were to only stay in the holy dharmas, yeah, there are two possibilities. One is a dangerous possibility. You become overly familiar and might commit offenses. That's a danger. That's a possibility for people like us. And the good possibility, you just stay there and don't return it. Die there. I think that's a good possibility. But the reason why devotees don't just stay there is because of the mission which we are spreading. But sometimes devotees may not be such missionary people, and it might be better for them. Anyways, I will be criticized if I say this. So if you have a mission, that's wonderful. That's really, as far as I can honestly say, I feel it's more advancement if you stay with the mission, if you can do it, because you please Mahaprabhu, who's so pleased, oh, these devotees are sticking it out in the Western world, and they're doing this, bringing Krishna to the people. That's a great blessing. Thank you very much. I will end the lecture here. All the best, and remain enthusiastic to go back to the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai. Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.